This is a show where the spirit has control.
Straight up no agenda.
So listen up close, get the medicine for your soul.
Straight up no agenda.
Telling you the truth is what we hear to do.
Straight up no agenda.
So come get all the blessings God got for you.
Hey guys, welcome to Straight Talk No Chaser. I'm the host, Marcus Bacar. We want to welcome you again. Don't forget, before we go any further, to make sure that you like and share this broadcast. I want to make sure you receive every time we drop something, you get it. Today, we're going to have with us a very interesting guest, someone that has known me and since I was in the fourth grade. We met on a football field as youngsters, and we remain friends ever since. We grew up where our parents knew one another, and they pretty much made sure we were doing well and we stayed out of trouble. Guys, and he is also a phenomenal man in the community of Rome, in Rome, Georgia. He's had so many accolades. We're going to talk about each and every one of them. Guys, I want you to welcome to the show with me, Terrence Hite Sr.
Thank you, Marcus. How are you doing, sir?
You're doing good. Okay, now we can drop all the professionalism. What's up, man?
Not much. You done took it back to grade school, so you know I got to laugh about that one. That's been a long time ago, sir.
Yes, Lord. We both up in age. I saw our pictures floating around online. Once a year, pops up. I don't know who has it, of our football picture from back when.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it pop up. You're right. Southeast Cowboys.
Yes, sir. That's when we first met. Purple and white.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man, I've known you that long, and we both have grown and done our own separate things. But I want to first start off by telling you I want to applaud you because of the things you've done with the children. You were a football coach. Matter of fact, I believe a championship winning coach at that. You took the young minds of some of the most influential young guys that are on the football field now in colleges around this state, around this country. You planted seeds in their young minds for them to grow. You've also thought it was something that the men of Rome needed to know about, which was the health. You stepped out. You've done that. You have won so many awards just by doing the things you do, and I want to applaud you for that, because so many times they say the black man isn't doing anything at our age. They say we're just existing, but you're standing up and you're stepping up and you're showing young men how to be young men. Thank you, sir.
Marcus, I thank you for that. I think it goes back, man. You know, when we did play, actually, when we played football, some of my fondest memories were there when we were young. I mean, you know, I remember us on the back of a truck, you know, going to Lake Winnipesaukee or something. Nowadays, you can't put kids on back of a truck and things like that. So, but, you know, it was, though, you know, through the church, we kind of grew there as well. We had our banquets there. And those were kind of things I remember. So I took it into my coaching experience. So I've always wanted the kids to, you know, dress up for the banquet, make it a special occasion. You know, make it memorable, because like you said, those kids are easily influenced, but at the same time, they have so much to offer. I always have felt that you can teach them anything. And as long as you be patient with them, they can learn. And through football, I taught them, of course, football plays and things like that, but I'm also taught them how to open up, speak out, be a leader, be a spokesperson for our team. You know, I've seen young guys that come to practice, they were quiet all year. At the end of the year, they were leading the chant because they were so confident, you know, trying to boost confidence in that one way or the other, because as you know, everyone has something to give.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And let's start out by talking about you were, and I'm gonna mess this title up, back you're in the community. You've done so much in the community. And your first acknowledgement, when was that?
Ooh, wee.
Guys, he's done so much. His I guess his bio is deep.
No, you know, I think back to, you know, recognition. It started with, I went through Leadership Rome here first and graduated from that program. It's a program that kind of teaches you about industry and the financial and just the businesses of Rome. And, mm-hmm. and that was an honor to be selected to be in that group of people that, you know, go through that leadership academy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because when I say that, I look at things like that as something of being recognized because I didn't have to be chosen to be a part of that. Okay. I also won the Thomas Frist Humanitarian Award through HCA, which is Healthcare Corporations of America. And that's basically you're recognized throughout your hospital for the things you've done in the community. And when you say, you know, some of the things, yeah, I've worked with, you know, the kids, of course, as we talked about as a coach, but I've also worked with the 100 Black Men of Rome in Northwest Georgia with the Health Initiative for Men. But through the Health Initiative for Men, that was one of the things I collaborated with other organizations throughout the county, really, to, you know, provide that awareness. At the time, it was more focused on prostate cancer. And we grew it into so many different things where we did, you know, blood pressure screenings, cholesterol screenings. I mean, you know, ear, nose, and throat. We had skin cancer awareness and you know, AIDS, HIV testing. I'm trying to think back more. It was just an array of different health things, mm-hmm. you know, and so that really was one of my passions. But through that, you know, that's part of that whole humanitarian award that I won back some years ago, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Now, first off, let's go back. You started the men. That's what I now, when you started that and you did that, well, did you have a lot of backing?
Absolutely. We have good support in this community. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I have added family support as well. I have a son who's really a good driver there, where he's always involved. Mama, very supportive, you mm-hmm. know. So I've had that family support, but also just the community leaders in the town coming together to support you and to help you be a success. So, because I say that event was a success because when I started working with, when I was introduced to it, I should say, there were 32 participants in that health fair, and then it got over 340 or almost 400, I should say, almost 400 participants. And mm-hmm. it's been a continued thing, although I kind of walked away in 2017, but I still serve as an advisory member. They call mm-hmm. me things, and I, you know, still help get people there or you know, talk through the processes of what worked well and what didn't work well, because I still try to attend, although I'm not an active committee member.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Still throwing your support in there. That most people, when they're not active, when they're not the lead, they walk away. That shows what type of character you have, too. So your parents, you mentioned your mom, huh?
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing with you.
Oh, you mentioned your support of your mom and support of your son. I can also vouch every time I post something, your mama liking it. She's sharing it. She's putting something on it whenever I post something. Yeah. I post my services. Your mama, she liking it. She doing something with it. So yes, I appreciate that.
I always tell people she's the biggest fan, you know.
And she's done. And Ms. Aang would make sure us boys was on the straight and narrow. We stayed out of trouble. And I never, you know what, all my years, I did not realize I was pronouncing her name wrong. I didn't know that. I call her Ms. Aang. That's not how you pronounce it. I didn't realize I got older that I was pronouncing it wrong, but she stayed with it. That's what I still call her. Yeah. So when I said, Ms. Aang, how you doing? But yes, you've also, before we get in further along, your impact on the youth there in the community. You have coached, how many years did you coach? I know you don't coach now. How many years did you coach?
close to about 20 years.
Did you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Coached for about 20 years. It was one of those things. I never coached my son, but I spent that time coaching others.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. I thought it was really, I was just trying to teach the kids, you know, different things, man. We pray during our practices before and after games and all that. We were ones to do a lot of activities together. We were mm-hmm. huge in trying to teach more than football, because, you know, you see kids out there and they respect their coaches sometimes more than their parents. And I was
what was the age group? What was the age group?
I coached from 7 to 8, and then it jumped up to 9 to 11, you know, that, right in that range. So I always tell people it was in that range from 7 to 11.
Mm-hmm. The now what's key about that is you had to have parents that also bought in, because you said you prayed with them.
Yes, sir.
Now that's something that I remember when we were in school, they were trying to get us not to do prayers before games. Here you are praying with the young kids. Was that well received?
It really was. I would talk to them. Of course, I asked permission prior, and yeah. I was like, everybody was supportive. They was like, mm-hmm. absolutely. You know, you guide the kids how you see fit, and I appreciated that support. Because that was, to me, showing that we were becoming a family at that point. Because this is like day one, the introduction to Coach Height football, you know?
Coach Height. But yeah, that's good. You did 20 years. You said you never coached your son.
Never coached my son. I just pushed him around in the backyard.
I know I coached baseball. I would coach them the first two years of baseball, then I would turn them loose to someone else, because I know they got tired of hearing my mouth. But so now, as you have grown and gotten older, there have been some things that come up in your life. And before we get to that, I want to make an announcement. Hey, guys, again, don't forget to like, share, and post this podcast for your friends and family. And remember, the wardrobe is brought to you by Winston Box. Winston Box. Click on the link in the bio, and you'll get an opportunity to take a look at what Winston has for you. Mr. Height, Terrence Height, T, one of them names. Question for you. Now, as you have gotten older, you've had some health challenges. And we want to, first of all, when did you first notice there was a difference in your health?
Actually, when I turned 25, so I'll say at the young age of 25.
Young age of 25. Woo! I remember those days back in the day.
But, yeah, you know.
What? Because there's a lot of parents that are probably listening, and they don't quite know what to look for with this condition. What began to happen to you? What did you experience?
Well, it became a fuzzy world. So, first of all, I'll start off, Marcus, just by saying, the eye disease that I have is called Stargardt's disease. It's spelled S-T-A-R-G-A-R-D apostrophe T-S or T apostrophe S. I'm sorry, Stargardt's.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of, it was a funny story. We were kind of hanging out at the mall and we were parking. It was one of those little love taps on somebody's car. You know how you just barely bump it. And uh-huh. We were walking in the mall. I was so fearful. We were trying to figure out who and where who we needed to talk to about the little touch. But we were walking through the mall in the entry, and there was an optometrist out there doing the little eye test where they measure the pressures in your eyes or whatever. So I was looking in there. You know, you're supposed to see the little parachute or whatever, and or air balloon. You look in this little thing, and so I saw the air balloon, but never knew I had this big of astigmatism. So that was the first thing that just really got me going to the doctor. There's something was going on, so we went to the doctor. And of course, it's astigmatism. You just need glasses. So it happens in college, you know, I'm doing all this stuff and just reading books, and computers at that time were very heavy. And that was my, you know, first degree is computer programming. So I thought just the time I had spent on the computer was causing me that problem. But as I got a little bit older, 27, around the age of 27, we started just really, really digging into it. And that's when it was really, truly diagnosed. So we knew something was going on, but the diagnosis came at about 27 years old. I was at Emory and had went through all these grueling tests. And then that's when the doctor told me it was Stargardt's disease. And so normally Stargardt's disease starts in children when they're 10 years old or around 25. So you're asking me when parents should be looking out for, it is really at that adolescent age when they're around 10 or so. And if you're an adult, you start noticing some fuzziness and blurred vision, then you're around 25. It's something really to get checked. They're more knowledgeable of it now than they were 25 years ago, you know, over 25 years ago, but it's still no true cure for this disease. So basically you're having this plaque build up in front of your optic nerve, which causes your center vision. You lose your center vision. So peripherally, I see okay through my peripheral vision. It was at that point of 20/20 because I could pick up a thing from my peripheral, but not directly in front of me. So when you really start noticing that, that affects you with things like reading, of course, looking facial recognition or facial expression, because if you're looking at somebody, a lot of times you may miss facial expression. These are just some little things that you don't think about when you're doing that. But, you know, the reading was the most difficult one for me. But, you know, of course, there's technology out there. I take advantage of different things. So I don't spend a lot of time, you know, with my eyes in the sense of straining them. So making them tired, you know, you need to, you know, plenty of rest, less stress, just a lot of things you need to factor into your lifestyle, diet, you know, alcohol, all that stuff. You know, you could do certain things, but you don't need to do anything in excess because it could damage your eyes or your vision worse. So those are some things more that I learned at an early age that, hey, I got to make some changes. And I really did. And I'm living with it. But one of the things I always tell anybody is that don't let it get you down, because I could be low, woe is me kind of person. But I'm so fortunate I did have that strong mother back there behind me and supporting me that made me just push me, man. And then I had a son. You know, I always tell people, you know, I started out rather young with my son, and, you know, he's the only one I have. But at the same time, it was a lifestyle change. It made me grow up faster. I think it made me grow up faster and prepared me for this life that I had to live with this vision loss. So, you know, I think the toughest time, though, has come for me with this whole vision thing is a year and a half ago, because I had to stop driving. So at some point that will happen. I will never go dark blind, but I do, you know, have to rely on others at this point in my life. So that's has been becoming frustration, but at the same time, I have good support now in the new, you know, life that I'm living. So very good support around me. So I do appreciate that. And that's why I said never burning the bridges, and I'm always trying to be friendly, bro, because you never know. You'll need someone or you know, that good deed get returned or whatever. So, you know, I try to live like that. But that's Stargardt's, man, in a nutshell, because it's really bigger than that. But you can hear it's a big lifestyle change for sure.
Yeah. I never had really ever asked. I know at night was not your thing. It was in the evening. Early on, we was in our 20s. I never had asked until recently, I believe, about a year or two ago, what's really going on, because I didn't know. I just thought, I just assumed what it, you know how as we age, night driving is just not good. So I just figured he didn't like driving at night. But because I never knew, because I never asked, because you didn't have that woe is me moment. Right. As far as I know, you were always upbeat. You was always, man, what you doing when I came to town? Man, let's hook up, let's eat, let's hang out, let's do this, let's do that. come on by, man. We watch TV. We watch the game or something. You never had that moment in front of me where I was like, man, some my guy's down. What's up?
Yeah. So, no, I try to be strong, Marcus, because I take this mindset that there's always someone in a worse position than yourself. And I compared it one time to is, you know, someone who doesn't have a double amputee. That's probably the biggest one. You think about empathy, you know, needs assistance everywhere they go. But some people I've seen fight, do different things, play basketball in a wheelchair, you know. So it let me say, man, I can do this with this little thing I do have. I do have all my limbs. I have I have my hearing, which is what it's saying. They say if you lose a sense, you gain one. Because I can hear stuff going on around the corner and super hearing. So I'm going to tell everybody that is a true statement. Your other senses are heightened when you do lose one. But I can tell you more because I just had to push myself, man. I really did. And that's why I enjoyed the coaching. None of the kids knew, understood. I mean, you know, my technique out there, we like run the ball in to coach, because you don't throw the ball, you don't throw it to the referee, you be a gentleman and you take it to him after you score a touchdown. That was my whole thing. So I tried to teach him, because then I wasn't teaching them silly antics out there, throwing it down, spiking away. You know, it was fun for us, but it was one of my ways of trying to cope with it and make changes. You know, sometimes they throw it to me, I turn peripheral, try to catch it, you know, but it was like, coach, throwing it to coach can't catch, that don't look good. But it was, lose the ball if it was thrown directly at me.
I remember I did the Billy White Shoe Johnson Funky Chicken in the end zone once. You're right. I'm glad you taught those kids better.
Yeah. I miss it though, man.
Coach Hudson turned around and said, the next week, I didn't score. He said, you didn't do the Funky Chicken today? Oh, man. I remember that so vividly.
Good stuff.
Yes. Now, since past year, you have developed a foundation. Well, it was last year, right? 2024?
Last August.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You developed a foundation for children that are also dealing with the same condition that you are. Tell us a little bit about the foundation.
Well, it's a little even more than that, Marcus. It's regarding early detection. So in August of last year.
Hold on one moment. Okay. Start over right there.
Okay. In August of last year, I incorporated my business. It's called Height for Sight. And so in October, it was we received our 501c3. So my foundation, Height for Sight, basically, we pay for eye exams and pay for the eye glasses. So basically, we're providing financial assistance for the youth and young adults in our communities. And when I say communities, I'm working in Bartow County, Chattooga County, Floyd County. I would love to get into Polk County and Gordon County, where there's a need. You know, they all are aware of the foundation, but we really utilize it in these three areas, Bartow, Chattooga, and Floyd. So just in 2023, you know, for that short period of time, we helped 9 clients. Mm-hmm. And so we provided that assistance, and they received their glasses. So that was a great thing. So it's all about screening and detection, early detection with Starguard. So, you know, I'm in that age group 4 through 12, in the sense of grades in school, their grades 4 through 12 are the students I see. So that puts you, what's that, 18. So, you know, it is really, really, it is trying to help wherever we can. And we've helped special needs now this year already, and we've helped some foster kids. And so, man, I'm working with the Open Door Home now. So it is really spreading, and I hope we have a successful year this year.
I hope you all do as well. And I believe when people hear about more about it, I think they will take heed, because I believe we all want to help somebody in some form. Now, you said you're helping the kids from to 18. Are you just looking at your eye, the people that have the same condition you have, or is any eye condition?
No, it's anyone who has a financial strain to getting glasses because so it's bigger than mine. Now, I want to talk about the Stargardt's if we ever run across someone like that, but right now it's about early screening because what's happening, Marcus, in the school system, a lot of kids are misdiagnosed and mislabeled in the sense that they're a troublemaker, they don't learn well, you know, they're slow, these kind of things. When in actuality, they're just struggling with vision loss or their lack thereof, not being able to have a screening because, you know, with Medicaid, it doesn't pay for everything. A lot of companies around here don't accept Medicaid. So you got that issue. So you got two issues there. So where we come in, if you're underinsured or uninsured, or the school system says, hey, this family, they just cannot afford it. So that's where my foundation steps in. So it's more of an honor system with the school system. But if you was just an individual and you wanted to apply, you have to have a household income of 24,000 or less. We just raised that. It was 20,000 last year, but I'm raising it to $24,000 or less because, man, that's a struggle. And, you know, it's hard on a single parent or a parent with multiple children and making that kind of money, you know. So we're looking at it that way. So we're just helping those that cannot afford or can't afford those, you know, those glasses or the eye exam.
I want to tell you this. This is an amazing venture, man, because I know people that have the Medicaid and I know people that don't have it, but they all have the same answer. I can't afford it. And or you're right, people with Medicaid, half the people in the area don't take it. You got to go two counties over to get it, to get it squared away, get it done. And that puts a lot of strain on people. And I'm thankful your organization is out there. Tell me, how can now? Well, no, before I say that, with the school system, are they willing? Are they stepping in to help with the screenings, or is there a special place you do screenings? How does that work?
Right now, I'm working with two optometrists here in town. One of them is called Eye Doctor Now. They were my first company that I started working with. They have a lot of telemedicine through their facility, so there's always easy to make an appointment. So the school, what happens is the process is really simple, more because I am working with the school. The school system calls me, notifies me of the child in need, and then I notify the company, and then you know I approve it basically, and then they send me a bill at the end of the month. You know, so we made it so that we can work with them. But I knew the owners of this company, so we worked that out. And actually, this my newest optometrist, and he's an opticianist. He Jolly, he actually was there when I was diagnosed. So when I first started my process, he was like, "Something's going on," you know, these glasses, and he was a guy that we came back to Rome and made those glasses for me. I had to have a special glass lens, a corner lens, and you know, this special tint that he made for me here in Rome. So really worked with him. It was just good to reconnect. That's why I go back to always treat everybody nice because you never know who you're gonna run into, you know. And so this late in life, he just automatically said, hey, Terrence, yes, we'll work with you. So through those two partners, it's really working well. And the reason we had to have two is because sometimes there needs to be a face-to-face visit with the special need kids. You can't really do the telemedicine as well, you know. So the America's Best, they have an optometrist inside the building so they can actually see them physically. And then with some of the students, they can do the telemedicine, and it's working out very well.
The no now your foundation, do you guys have a way of contacting you? Do they send emails? They got you have a phone number? How would they find you? How would they locate you?
Everything you just said. Our website is www.heightforsight at gmail.com. Or wait, whoa, look, let me back up.
I would say, hold on, so you gave two things out of
Hold
one.
on. I done gave you my email first. Let me back up. It's www.heightforsight.org. That is our website. Our email address is hypeforsight@gmail.com. That's the same thing on Facebook, Instagram, and all. And if people wanted to make a donation, they could visit our website, or they can mail their donation into our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 1044, Rome, Georgia, 30162. So we've received checks via mail. We've received online donations on our website. That's where we post a lot of our events. Our upcoming event that we have here in February is going to be Casino Night, where it's just a big fundraiser. I'm bringing in four different type of gaming tables. We'll have the slot machine. We'll have a poker machine. We'll have basically roulette. We'd have blackjack, and we have craps tables. So those tables will be there, and for people to just have fun. Nobody, you know, wins anything. It's all about donations. You'll win a title, Casino King or Casino Queen is the way we're going to run it with it, just to have fun more, because we'll have a silent auction, and we have several local vendors that have really worked with us on it. We're looking for sponsorships. We're doing pretty good. We're in that phase right now where the sponsorships are due in, and I think we're going to be pretty successful in that arena as well. A lot of the sponsors are listed online. I don't want to say them, but they are on our website. So if anybody wants to see some of our sponsorship, kind of visit our website to see that. So all avenues of ways of getting in touch with us. And finally, is our phone number is 706-690-0094. So we wanted to make sure we're out there, that we can be easily accessible. So if anybody wanted to come out and help us, or just drop us a note, share our Facebook page, just any of that. Just follow Terrence Height or Height for Sight.
Question: where is your casino night going to be located?
It's going to be at the Marriott Courtyard here in Rome, Georgia. It's right across from the Barron Stadium.
Oh, Barron. Okay. Now and they can get tickets through the same avenues you just provided, right?
Yes. What will happen, it'll link them. If you tried to register on the website, it'll take you to Eventbrite, or they can just go straight to Eventbrite and buy tickets. I think there's a QR code on one of our flyers floating around on Facebook. So it's all of it will take you back to get that to Eventbrite. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We'll accept donations at the door as well. So,
okay. And I'm glad you said you don't win any money. You just, everything goes to the cause.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To the foundation. Because
I can hear people now, I'm going to a casino. I ain't been to a casino in a couple of years. That's not that kind of casino. This is all so someone else can benefit. Now, the young, how many kids did you say you've helped so far?
So far, there's 9. In total, there's actually 13, and we have 10 pending. So,
wow.
Yeah, we had 9. I always want to highlight the 9 in that short period of time.
Just August. That's amazing. Yeah,
yes. And then already we've actually helped 4 kids this year.
Uh-huh.
And then there are 10 kids pending. Parents taking them to appointments, setting up appointments and things. But there have been 10 kids identified. And Margaret, I had a call actually from one of the surrounding counties on Friday. So maybe a couple of more.
Okay. So all right.
Forever.
So there's a need. There's a need.
Definitely a need. I will say that.
Okay. So you guys, I bring you people that are really doing something to affect our communities. And it's not based on race, it's based on the need. So you guys need to make sure that you not only listen to this podcast, but participate by making your donations and making them often. Is there a way to set up a reoccurring donation?
It is. If you go online, you'll see. You can go through and you can just have it come $5 each month, $2. Let me tell you, every little bit helps, because it's nothing like sitting here talking to some of the parents. Because I have had the pleasure of speaking with some of the parents or grandparents even. And just to hear that story of that child and what happens, man, it touches my heart every single time. I actually, I'm gonna tell you a funny story though, Marcus. I was out this weekend, you know, like I said, I'm having my event, so I am having to go look for some donations in the sense of silent auction gifts or even sponsorship. But while I was out speaking with this young lady, and she started telling the story, she said, first of all, congratulations. I know I didn't really talk about this award that I just recently won, but it's Heart of the Community, right? So yeah. Heart of the Community.
We was going to get to that before we left.
this is probably this is my most honorable and biggest award that I've won, because there's a huge gala surrounding it and all. But anyway, I was in the store and two ladies came up to, hey, congratulations on being recognized by Heart of Community. We're so happy for you. That's such an honor. And I was just like, I'm really, really so happy. And they said, Natan, I didn't understand. What is your foundation about? So I was telling them. And then this other lady walked up and said, oh my goodness, is that you? My daughter's a special needs. And we heard about Height for Sight. And they just said they took care of everything for us. She said, I just want to hug your neck. You know, I just never said the client's name because I'm in the HIPAA
thing.
I said, the story sounds good. But, you know, just tell somebody. But, man, just to see that person's face and when she told me that. And it just made me kind of all just warm inside. It really, really touched me.
And look, as we get older, go and tell the truth, as we get older, we get a little bit more emotional. I don't know what it is. So either you went to the car and cried, or you cried while you was right there. Don't tell the truth.
Yeah. I had a teardrop in my heart, man.
Yeah. Now, since you brought the award up, we're going to slide into that next. But you just won an award. Give us that name one more time.
It's a Heart of the Community.
And who chooses that a winner?
There is actually a committee. There's a board. And it's a board of probably 24, 30 people that select people within the community that have done, things to help their community. And I was one of the recipients this year. There's always 7 recipients. There's always your governors, which is somebody who's really been doing it probably for 40 years or something, the governor. Mm-hmm. But then you have a Heart of the Community Award, a new business Heart of the Community Award, and then there's the 4 others, and I was one of the 4 others that were selected. So they celebrate us first with a heart walk the same day. So that morning, you would get recognized at the heart walk with being a Heart of the Community. But at the same time, they are a foundation just like my foundation. So they're trying to raise money, but they raise money to purchase AEDs for different places. Like, they've done it for certain churches, they've done it for certain businesses, so that they have this equipment in case someone ever had a heart attack and they could help save them.
Help save a life.
And they also actually provide living quarters for people coming into Advent Health Redmond to receive heart surgery, and it's called the Heart House. So this foundation and this, they've done so much in this community. They even created this park where they purchased all this exercise equipment, put in the park over there, Ridge Ferry Park. And so they, promoting healthiness and health and wellness. So it's a big thing. They do so much. But then this is their biggest event, this gala they have, which will be on February 24th. So if anybody's out there listening, they want to come to the Heart Walk, they can come out on February 24th. That's where they'll see me being recognized. Not a gala. It's a black tie event that evening. People can purchase tickets for that event also on the Heart of the Community website.
So to be recognized by 24 people in a community, that, you know what that means? And I'm reminded of a scripture that came to mind. Your gift shall make room for you. You have a gifting of bringing people together and leading them. And God is going to use your foundation to help these young people see how to give back. You're not only just doing what you're doing now, but I believe when people see someone else doing something and you're really affecting them directly, that then gives them the heart and the mind to go affect someone else later. That's like the football players you had, those guys you had out there that are now in D1 schools.
Oh yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. When you said that, I was like, what? And you start naming them? I was like, what?
Well, yeah. And then some of them are coaches now at the college level.
Really? Yep. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yep.
Go on, Terrence Hype.
Yeah, them boys did it, man. He told me a funny story. I ran into him at a restaurant. He circled back around, Coach Hype. And I was like, hey, son, you know, they changed, but their little faces still the same. Mm-hmm. So, how you doing, son? He's like, yeah, I'm coaching at Cincinnati. He said, now, I'm not telling you this to boost your head up or nothing like that, but I told some people, man, coaching comes for me. It came for when I was a youth. And those guys that taught us, and that how much they taught us football. And I tell that story in the locker room still to some of these guys. And he said, so I ain't telling you to boost your head up, because it's the truth. I mean, it made me feel so good. And to hear that kid tell a kid now, you know, saying he was coaching at the college and collegiate level. So it was really, really cool to hear that story.
Yeah, man, you're planting seeds out there. You don't even know.
Yep, you never know. You don't. That's why I said, try to keep that everlasting effect, but in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to see what's happening for you. I don't tell you, I haven't told you, but I admire what God is doing with you and how he's using you in the city, in Rome, because Rome's a hard place to get through sometimes. Rome's a hard place to navigate. Take it from me, I know. Because remember, that's where my first church was, in Rome. And it's a hard place to navigate through. So I know the community and the people. But when you get a chance and God opens a door for you, and you allow what he has set for you to take over you, and you use it for his benefit, man, you see the repercussions of it. Because what you did in the community, a lot of people had opportunity to do, they just haven't. But you stepped up, you did it.
Thanks, sir.
You are an example for so many in the community right now. And you may not ever find out. But like that guy said, he came back and said, Coach, I ain't trying to blow your head up. Somebody's gonna tell that same story. Mr. Height was doing this, this, this. I saw him do this, this, this. How he helped the kids with the glass, how he did this. I set up and he did things for the men and helped them get the health fair going. And I thought I'd just do like he did. Just do like he did. Help somebody. And you said something positive, powerful just a little when we started. You said, be careful about burning bridges so you never know who you're going to need later on. Right. That's so true. That is so true. You never know. I got four kids. You know all of them. And I try to tell them they were younger. You can't just cut friends off. Don't do people or people that you know any old kind of way. Because you never know when you may need them to help you do whatever you need to have done.
Absolutely.
But today, whenever you hear this, I want to make sure you guys share this broadcast with your friends. And if you have any people that need assistance from Mr. Height, get his information, submit it to him. And I don't, like most things, you can't help everybody, but those that you can, we will, and he will. Mr. Height, I'm going to let you close us out. Say whatever you got to say in your parting thoughts, sir, and then I'll come back and wrap it up.
Well, first, Marcus, I want to thank you for just allowing me to tell my story on your platform. I really appreciate that. Keep doing what you're doing. I wish you well in your future endeavors with, you know, your podcast and your preaching. Always, I mean, you know, keep your faith first and keep it moving. Secondly, you know, I just want to say, anybody out there that's listening, please visit us at www.hightforsight.org. You can read all about what we do on that website. You can help us by dropping us a donation. Trust me, all the monies go toward the youth and our foundation, me and my board. We work really hard to ensure we're doing everything we can to grow this foundation and to make it so that we can help over 100 kids is our goal this year. So we're really, really working hard to try to make that happen. So support us, spread the word. And if you have any questions, please give us a call, 706-690-0094. Thank you.
Hey, guys, you've heard it from him. The information, the reach, Terrence, will be in the bio. I want you guys to go in and make a donation. Make a donation. This podcast is not only heard here locally, but it's heard around the country. You all have access to the same links you can give there. I want to thank you all again for listening. And as always, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. We will talk to you soon. God bless.
God bless you, sir. Okay, in August of last year, I incorporated my business. It's called Hype for Sight. And so in October, it was we received our 501c3. So my foundation, Hype for Sight, basically we pay for eye exams and pay for the eye glasses. So basically we're providing financial assistance for the youth and young adults in our communities. And when I say communities, I'm working in Bartow County, Chattooga County, Floyd County. I would love to get into Polk County and Gordon County, where there's a need. You know, they all are aware of the foundation, but we really utilize it in these three areas, Bartow, Chattooga, and Floyd. So just in 2023, you know, for that short period of time, we helped 9 clients. Mm-hmm. And so we provided that assistance, and they received their glasses. So that was a great thing. So it's all about screening and detection, early detection with Starguard. So, you know, I'm in that age group 4 through 12, in the sense of grades in school. Their grades 4 through 12 are the students I see. So that puts you, what's that, 18. So, you know, it is really, really, it is trying to help wherever we can. And we've helped special needs now this year already, and we've helped some foster kids. And so, man, I'm working with the Open Door Home now. So it is really spreading, and I hope we have a successful year this year.
I hope you all do as well. And I believe when people hear about more about it, I think they will take heed, because I believe we all want to help somebody in some form. Now, you said you're helping the kids from to 18. Are you just looking at your eye, the people that have the same condition you have, or is any eye condition?
No. It's anyone who has a financial strain to getting glasses. So it's bigger than mine. Now, I want to talk about the Starguards if we ever run across someone like that. But right now, it's about early screening. Because what's happening, Marcus, in the school system, a lot of kids are misdiagnosed and mislabeled in the sense that they are troublemaker. They don't learn well, you know, they're slow, these kind of things. When in actuality, they're just struggling with vision loss or their lack thereof, not being able to have a screening. Because, you know, with Medicaid, it doesn't pay for everything. A lot of companies around here don't accept Medicaid. So you got that issue. So you got two issues there. So where we come in, if you're underinsured or uninsured, or the school system says, hey, this family, they just cannot afford it. So that's where my foundation steps in. So it's more of an honor system with the school system. But if you was just an individual and you wanted to apply, you would have to have a household income of $24,000 or less. We just raised that. It was $20,000 last year, but I'm raising it to $24,000 or less because, man, that's a struggle. And, you know, it's hard on a single parent or a parent with multiple children and making that kind of money, you know. So we're looking at it that way. So we're just helping those that cannot afford or can't afford those, you know, those glasses or the eye exam.
This, I want to show you this. This is an amazing venture, man, because I know people that have the Medicaid, and I know people that don't have it, but they all have the same answer. I can't afford it.
Yep.
And or you're right, people with Medicaid, half the people in the area don't take it. You got to go 2 counties over to get it squared away, get it done.
Exactly.
And that puts a lot of strain on people and I'm thankful your organization is out there. Tell me, how can before I say that, with the school system, are they willing, are they stepping in to help with the screenings, or is there a special place you do screenings? How does that work?
Right now, I'm working with two optometrists here in town. One of them is called Eye Doctor Now. They were my first company that I started working with. They have a lot of telemedicine through their facility, so there's always easy to make an appointment. So the school, what happens is the process is really simple, more because I am working with the school. The school system calls me, notifies me of the child in need, and then I notify the company, and then, you know, I approve it basically, and then they send me a bill at the end of the month, you know. So we made it so that we can work with them, but I knew the owners of this company, so we worked that out. And actually, this my newest optometrist, and he's an opticianist, Jolly, he actually was there when I was diagnosed. So when I first started my process, he was like, something's going on, you know, these glasses. And he was a guy that we came back to Rome and made those glasses for me. I had to have a special glass lens, a corner lens, and, you know, this special tint that he made for me here in Rome. So really worked with him. It was just good to reconnect. That's why I go back to always treat everybody nice, because you never know who you're going to run into. You know? And so this late in life, he just automatically said, hey, Terrence, yes, we'll work with you. So through those two partners, it's really working well. And the reason we had to have two is because sometimes there needs to be a face-to-face visit with a special need kids. You can't really do the telemedicine as well, you know. So the America's Best, they have an optometrist inside the building so they can actually see them physically. And then with some of the students, they can do the telemedicine, and it's working out very well.
Your foundation, do you guys have a way of contacting you? Do they send emails? You have a phone number? How would they find you? How would they locate you?
Everything you just said. Our website is www.heightforsight@gmail.com. Let me back up.
I would say, hold on. So you gave two things out of one.
I done gave you my email first. Let me back up. It's www.heightforsight.org. That is our website. Our email address is heightforsight@gmail.com. That's the same thing on Facebook, Instagram, and all. And if people wanted to make a donation, they could visit our website, or they can mail their donation into our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 1044, Rome, Georgia, 30162. So we've received checks via mail. We've received online donations on our website. That's where we post a lot of our events. Our upcoming event that we have here in February is going to be casino night, where it's just a big fundraiser. I'm bringing in four different type of gaming tables. We'll have the slot machine. We'll have a poker machine. We'll have basically roulette. We have blackjack, and we have craps tables. So those tables will be there, and for people to just have fun. Nobody, you know, wins anything. It's all about donations. You'll win a title, Casino King or Casino Queen is the way we're going to run it with it, just to have fun more, because we'll have a silent auction, and we have several local vendors that have really worked with us on it. We're looking for sponsorships. We're doing pretty good. We're in that phase right now where the sponsorships are due in, and I think we're going to be pretty successful in that arena as well. A lot of the sponsors are listed online. I don't want to say them, but they are on our website. So if anybody wants to see some of our sponsorship, kind of visit our website to see that. So all avenues of ways of getting in touch with us. And finally, is our phone number is 706-690-0094. So we wanted to make sure we're out there, that we can be easily accessible. So if anybody wanted to come out and help us, or just drop us a note, share our Facebook page, just any of that. Just follow Terrence Height or Height for Sight.
Question: where is your casino night going to be located?
It's going to be at the Marriott Courtyard here in Rome, Georgia. It's right across from the Barron Stadium.
Oh, Barron. Okay. Now, is and they can get tickets through the same avenues you just provided, right?
Yes. What will happen, it'll link them. If you tried to register on the website, it'll take you to Eventbrite, or they can just go straight to Eventbrite and buy tickets. I think there's a QR code on one of our flyers floating around on Facebook. So it's all of it will take you back to get that to Eventbrite. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We'll accept donations at the door as well. So,
okay. And I'm glad you said you don't win any money. You just, everything goes to the cause.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To the foundation.
I can hear people now, I'm going to a casino. I ain't been to a casino in a couple of years. That's not that kind of casino. This is all so someone else can benefit. Now, the young, how many kids did you say you've helped so far?
So far, there's 9. In total, there's actually 13, and we have 10 pending. So,
wow.
Yeah, we had 9. I always want to highlight the 9 in that short period of time.
Just August. That's amazing.
Yes. And then already we've helped 4 kids this year.
Uh-huh.
And then there are 10 kids pending. Parents taking them to appointments, setting up appointments and things. But there have been 10 kids identified. And Margaret, I had a call actually from one of the surrounding counties on Friday. So maybe a couple of more.
Okay. So all right.
Forever.
So there's a need. There's a need.
Definitely a need. I will say that.
Okay. So you guys, I bring you people that are really doing something to affect our communities. And it's not based on race, it's based on the need. So you guys need to make sure that you not only listen to this podcast, but participate by making your donations and making them often. Is there a way to set up a reoccurring donation?
It is. If you go online, you'll see. You can go through and you can just have it come $5 each month, $2. Let me tell you, every little bit helps, you know, because it's nothing like sitting here talking to some of the parents. Because I have had the pleasure of speaking with some of the parents or grandparents even. And just to hear that story of that child and what happens, man, it touches my heart every single time. I actually... Yeah, I'm going to tell you a funny story, though, Marcus. I was out this weekend, you know, like I said, I'm having my event, so I am having to go look for some donations in the sense of silent auction gifts or even sponsorship. But while I was out speaking with this young lady, and she started telling the story, she said, first of all, congratulations. I know I didn't really talk about this award that I just recently won, but it's Heart of the Community, right? So yeah. Heart of the Community.
We was going to get to that before we left.
this is my most honorable and biggest award that I've won because there's a huge gala surrounding it and all. But anyway, I was in the store and two ladies came up to, hey, congratulations on being recognized by Heart of the Community. We're so happy for you. That's such an honor. And I was just like, I'm really, really so happy. And they said, Natan, I didn't understand. What is your foundation about? So I was telling them, and then this other lady walked up and said, oh my goodness, is that you? My daughter's a special needs, and we heard about Height for Sight, and they just said they took care of everything for us. She said, I just want to hug your neck. You know, I just never said the client's name because I'm in the HIPAA
thing.
I said, the story sounds good, but, you know, just tell somebody. But, man, to see that person's face. And when she told me that, it just made me kind of all just warm inside. It really, really touched me.
And look, as we get older, go and tell the truth, as we get older, we get a little bit more emotional. I don't know what it is. So either you went to the car and cried, or you cried while you was right there. Go and tell the truth.
Yeah, no. I had a teardrop in my heart, man.
Yeah. Now, since you brought the award up, we're going to slide into that next. You just won an award. Give us that name one more time.
It's a Heart of the Community.
And who chooses that a winner?
There is actually a committee. There's a board. And it's a board of probably 24, 30 people that select people within the community that have done, things to help their community. And I was one of the recipients this year. There's always 7 recipients. There's always your governors. I mean, which is somebody who's really been doing it probably for 40 years or something, you know, the governor. But then you have a young Heart of the Community Award, a business, a new business Heart of the Community Award, and then there's the 4 others, and I was one of the 4 others that were selected. So they celebrate us first with a heart walk the same day. So that morning, you would get recognized at the heart walk with being a Heart of the Community. But at the same time, they are a foundation just like my foundation. So they're trying to raise money, but they raise money to purchase AEDs for different places. Like, they've done it for certain churches, they've done it for certain businesses, so that they have this equipment in case someone ever had a heart attack and they could help save them.
Help save a life.
And they also actually provide living quarters for people coming into Advent Health Redmond to receive heart surgery, and it's called the Heart House. So this foundation and this, they've done so much in this community. They even created this park where they purchased all this exercise equipment, put in the park over there, Ridge Ferry Park. And so they, you know, promoting healthiness and health and wellness. So it's a big thing. They do so much, but then this is their biggest event, this gala they have, which will be on February 24th. So if anybody's out there listening, they want to come to the Heart Walk, they can come out on February 24th. That's where they'll see me being recognized. Not a gala, it's a black tie event that evening. People can purchase tickets for that event also on the Heart of the Community website.
So to be recognized by 24 people in a community, that, you know what that means? And I'm reminded of a scripture that came to mind. Your gift shall make room for you. You have a gifting of bringing people together and leading them. And God is going to use your foundation to help these young people see how to give back. You're not only just doing what you're doing now, but I believe when people see someone else doing something and you're really affecting them directly, that then gives them the heart and the mind to go affect someone else later. That's like the football players you had, those guys you had out there that are now in D1 schools.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. When you said that, I was like, what? And you start naming them? I was like, what?
Well, yeah. Hey, man, some of them are coaches now at the college level.
Really? Yep. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Go on, Terrence Height.
Yeah, them boys did it, man. He told me a funny story. I ran into him at a restaurant. He circled back around. Coach Height. And I was like, hey, son, you know, they change, but their little faces still the same. So how you doing, son? He's like, yeah, I'm coaching at Cincinnati. He said, I'm not telling you this to boost your head up or nothing like that, but I told some people, man, coaching comes for me, it came for when I was a youth. And those guys that taught us, and that how much they taught us football. And I tell that story in the locker room still to some of these guys, and they said, so I ain't telling you to boost your head up, but because it's the truth, man. It made me feel so good. And to hear that kid now, you know, saying he was coaching at the college and collegiate level. So it was really, really cool to hear that story.
Yeah, man, you're planting seeds out there. You don't even know.
Yep, you never know. You don't. That's why I said try to keep that everlasting effect, but in a positive way.
And I'm so happy to see what's happening for you. I don't tell you, I haven't told you, but I admire what God is doing with you and how he's using you in the city, in Rome, because Rome's a hard place to get through sometimes. Rome's a hard place to navigate. Take it from me, I know. Because remember, that's where my first church was, in Rome. And it's a hard place to navigate through. So I know the community and the people, but when you get a chance and God opens a door for you and you allow what he has set for you to take over you and you use it for his benefit, man, you see the repercussions of it. Because what you did in the community, a lot of people had opportunity to do, they just haven't. But you stepped up, you did it.
Thanks,
sir. You are an example for so many in the community right now. And you may not ever find out. But like that guy said, he came back and said, Coach, I ain't trying to blow your head up. Somebody's gonna tell that same story. Mr. Height was doing this. I saw him do this. How he helped the kids with the glass. How he did this. How he set up and he did things for the men and helped them get the health fair going. And I thought I'd just do like he did. Just do like he did. Help somebody. And you said something positive, powerful just a little when we started. You said, be careful about burning bridges so you never know who you're going to need later on. Right. That's so true. That is so true. You never know. I got four kids, you know, all of them. And I try to tell them they were younger. You can't just cut friends off. Don't do people that you know any old kind of way. Because you never know when you may need them to help you do whatever you need to have done.
Absolutely.
But today, whenever you hear this, I want to make sure you guys share this broadcast with your friends. And if you have any people that need assistance from Mr. Height, get his information, submit it to him. And I don't like most things. You can't help everybody, but those that you can, we will, and he will. Mr. Height, I'm gonna let you close us out. Say whatever you got to say in your parting thoughts, sir, and then I'll come back and wrap it up.
Well, first, Marcus, I want to thank you for just allowing me to tell my story on your platform. I really appreciate that. Keep doing what you're doing. I wish you well in your future endeavors with, you know, your podcast and your preaching. Always, I mean, you know, keep your faith first and keep it moving. Secondly, you know, I just want to say, anybody out there that's listening, please visit us at www.hightforsight.org. You can read all about what we do on that website. You can help us by dropping us a donation. Trust me, all the monies go toward the youth and our foundation. Me and my board, we work really hard to ensure we're doing everything we can to grow this foundation and to make it so that we can help over 100 kids is our goal this year. So we're really, really working hard to try to make that happen. So support us, spread the word. And if you have any questions, please give us a call, 706-690-0094. Thank you.
Hey guys, you've heard it from him. The information, the reach, Terrence, will be in the bio. I want you guys to go in and make a donation. This podcast is not only heard here locally, but it's heard around the country. You all have access to the same links you can give there. I want to thank you all again for listening. And as always, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. We will talk to you soon. God bless.
God bless you, sir.
This is a show where the spirit has control.
Straight up, oh Jesus.
So listen up close, get the medicine for your soul.
Straight up, oh Jesus.
Telling you the truth is what we here to do.
Straight up, oh Jesus.
Come get all the blessings God got for you.